Purgatory mystic Maria Sema and the early church father, St. Hippolytus of Rome, give us an urgent warning on the mark of the beast that will help us to understand exactly what it is. Now, I want to present all of this to you in a way that is clear and easy to remember so that you can avoid being deceived. Let's get right into it. Now, first of all, Maria Sema is a purgatory mystic from Austria that lived in the late 20th century. She was even recognized by her local church since her first book was written by the parish priest of her area, the book called Souls Visit Me. I've done many videos on her. You can check those out in the channel. Listen to what she has to say on the Antichrist. To the question, is the idea of the Antichrist true? She answers this. Yes, I'm afraid it is. Some visionaries, other than the ones in Medjugorje, say that the Antichrist is already alive today. He will come as a great financial wizard, have a very powerful charisma about him, and will also be considered a great healer and miracle worker. Huge numbers of people will fall for him, when in fact, his will be the strongest manifestation of Satan ever. People must pray incessantly not to be fooled by Satan and his unlimited talent to disguise himself in any form that pleases his arrogance. Now, I heard at least three warnings there that I want you to be aware about. First of all, that huge numbers of people will fall for him. Now, this requires humility because many of us have the pride of saying, no, I will not be one of them. Instead of having the humility that it might very well be the case that you and I will be deceived by him, if not have already been deceived by him. That's why we should begin with a prayer asking for this humility. Please pray with me. Lord Jesus, if it were not by your grace, I would be deceived by the Antichrist. Therefore, give us the grace to discern correctly and be faithful to you until the end. Amen. The second warning that is of note is praying incessantly. It's not just enough to pray as we just prayed. We must pray always to have the wisdom to see clearly. And lastly, disguise. Satan will hide behind what seems good on the surface, but on a deeper level leads us to great evil. Now let's take a look at St. Hippolytus of Rome and the warning that he gives in his early work on Christ and the Antichrist. This is one of the earliest, if not the first, major work done on this particular topic. When you go to read it, it's difficult to read because he has a very circular way of explaining things. So I'm highlighting the particular passage where he speaks about the mark of the beast and what he reveals. Listen to this. Now he quotes Revelation 13, and he will cause all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead, that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, the name of the beast, or the number of his name, for being full of guile and exalting himself against the servants of God, with the wish to afflict them and persecute them out of the world, because they give not glory to him, he will order incense pans to be set up by all everywhere, that no man among the saints may be able to buy or sell without first sacrificing. For this is what is meant by the mark received upon the right hand. And the word in their forehead indicates that all are crowned and put on a crown of fire and not of life, but of death. He just revealed the greatest secret about the mark of the beast, the idea that it is about sacrificing. Now, sacrificing on a simple level is giving something in exchange for something else. Now, the idea or the hope behind sacrifice is that you're sacrificing a lower thing for something higher. So, for instance, we sacrifice our time in exchange for money, and you hope that you get a lot of money for the time that you give. Or we sacrifice our convenience in exchange for some greater benefit. So, for instance, people exercise and sacrifice their comfort in exchange for a body that is in shape. Now, Satan tricks us by offering something that we want. And usually what he does is he asks us to sacrifice something higher in exchange for something lower. So for instance, he'll ask people to sacrifice their souls to him in exchange for fame. The problem is the person doing that sacrifice has no idea the worth of their soul, and they highly overvalue the thing that he is giving them, pleasure, fame, or wealth. To understand and put these two readings together, to know what the mark of the beast is, let's go back to the beginning and read from the book of Genesis. Genesis 3:1. Now the serpent was the most cunning of all the animals that the Lord God had made. It's interesting that Satan is here described as a serpent. And then later on in 3:14, you shall be banned from all the animals and from all the wild creatures. On your belly shall you crawl. This is something that we need to understand. Satan was once one of the highest angels, and because he chose not to worship God, he was lowered and he became like a serpent. He became like a beast, and not just a beast, but a beast that was then further punished and humiliated and made to crawl on the ground. So this was the punishment of Satan, and for him to get revenge on God, he wants to punish God's children, you and I, in the same way. He wants to take us from a higher place and make us like him to become beasts. He wants to punish us with the exact same punishment that God gave to him. This is the key to understanding what the mark of the beast is. The mark of the beast is to mark you precisely as a beast, that you become a beast. What was the mark? Now, at that time in society, it was referencing an image on a coin. Now, on a coin, they would place the image of the local ruler. Now, you see throughout the book of Revelation, this contrast between the mark of the beast and the seal of God, where God is trying to stamp into us his own image. This is the battle that's really happening in the book of Revelation. Now, something that further reveals what the mark of the beast is, now that you know that the mark of the beast is to become like a beast, we need to take a look at the number. The number is 666. How many numbers are there? 3, 6, 6, 6. Now that reveals to us that there are three specific ways in which we are distinctly human and unlike the beasts, and that Satan wants us to sacrifice to him in a threefold way. He wants us to sacrifice the three higher traits that make us human to him so that he could shape us perfectly into his image, the stamp or mark of a beast. Let's go through what each of those three traits are. The first one is the trait of intelligence. What separates us from the animals is that unlike them, we have a higher intelligence. And Satan wants us to sacrifice our intelligence to worship the God of convenience. How is this happening? This is happening right now. The first one is through cell phones. Now, cell phones are an instrument that God has given us that we could use for the benefit of humanity. But what are we seeing? Through cell phones and devices and tablets, we're literally sacrificing our intelligence to make life easy for us, to make life convenient so that we don't have to think or remember or reason anymore. We can just go to them and it provides conveniently everything when we need our entertainment, our answers, remembering this, everything. You are literally seeing this in studies. For instance, in certain studies done in Australia, when they look at children and what happens to their brains when they use these devices too much, they are literally developing dementia, something that should normally happen to someone in their 60s, 70s, or 80s. So we are quite literally sacrificing our brains to Satan, and in doing so, we are losing our humanity and becoming mindless beasts. Isn't that what it feels like when you enter a place when everyone is just staring at their screen? They're no longer humans. You can't even see their face. The thing that makes us human, all you see is just their head. They're just like animals staring blindly into a light. This doesn't mean that cell phones are bad in and of themselves, but we must rather sacrifice them to God and give them to God so that we can, through them, grow closer to God. Now, a second way that this is manifesting currently is through the use of AI. AI, again, is a gift that God is giving us that we could use for the good of humanity. But Satan wants us to sacrifice our intelligence to get AI to do everything for us so that our lives can be easier. Now let's go on to the second trait that Satan wants us to sacrifice to him and then shape us like a beast. That is the trait of freedom. Satan is constantly inviting us to sacrifice our freedom for the God of safety and security. Many of us, and even the church, failed miserably at this and did this already in the 2020s. Think about this. We were willing to give up all of our freedoms so that we could be safe from anything that might hurt our bodies. Take away our freedoms, take away the freedom of our health, the freedom to choose. So long as I don't get a certain disease, we were even willing to take unknown medicines to give us temporary safety. And of course, everything that Satan promises, he's never able to deliver. In fact, he often gives the very thing he's promising to protect you from. What ended up happening as a fruit and as a result of the 2020s? Many people, because of those medicines, actually died. Many people became incredibly depressed by giving up their freedoms. They became paranoid and anxious and constantly worried by giving in to all that fear. And what ended up being actually more dangerous was the isolation. And we saw in the church this happen in a particular way, that we were willing to sacrifice the spiritual life given to us by the Eucharist in exchange for safety of the body. And in the end, it was all a great deception. Hence the warning from Maria Sima that large numbers will be deceived and that we must pray incessantly to see clearly and discern. So Satan wants us to sacrifice our intelligence for the God of convenience. He wants us to sacrifice our freedom for the God of safety. The last higher trait that he wants us to sacrifice for something lower is that of the trait of love. When we are intelligent and we know someone, and when we have freedom, then we can fuse those two together to choose to love as God loves. There will come a day where the state completely controls who we marry or whether we marry or not, and they will completely control how humans are conceived and the types of humans that are made, because he wants us to sacrifice the human trait of love to worship the God of control. We already live in that time where we've taken that mark. Through contraception, for instance, we sacrifice the ability and the fruit of love in exchange for controlling our lives. And it seems to promise us life, but what we're seeing actually is death. We see this in countries like Japan, where the country is literally dying and there are cities that are disappearing. That's all coming home soon to a neighborhood near you. We see this also in China, where the state tells you how many children you can have to give you the illusion of control over population. However, one year they say have two children, another they say have three. Because while when humans have control, it appears that we're gonna have more life, it actually gives us death. So you see, the mark of the beast is not just any one thing. It's multiple things that Satan uses and he disguises behind for us to give him this threefold worship of our intelligence, our freedom, and our ability to love so that he can give us something else, in those cases, convenience, security, and control, thereby shaping us to become like beast. China is the poster child for these types of things. It's no wonder their great symbol is a red dragon, where all of society for them is convenient. It's safe. It's control. But all at the expense of their humanity. They are like puppets controlled by the state. And this is Satan's plan, to control one of the most powerful countries in the world. His next is to control other powerful countries like the United States, so that when he has these two, the world will fall next. Now, one thing that we have to ask ourselves is, does Jesus in the gospel ever promise us convenience, security, or control? He never does. It's like the quote by Pope Benedict, where he says something like, "Do not be comfortable. You are not made for comfort. You are made for greatness." The life instead that Jesus promises will be difficult, it will be dangerous, and it will be filled with death to self. This is what the saints show us. This is what the Blessed Mother showed us. This is what Jesus Christ himself showed us. And if you look at their lives, they may have constantly been filled with danger. They may have been killed as martyrs, but they lived incredibly beautiful lives of intelligence, freedom, and love. And they became not only fully human, but they allowed themselves to be stamped with the seal of God and became saints and godlike, so much so that we never forget them. They live on forever, both here in our memories on earth, but as saints in heaven, whereas all those around them that lived safe and convenient and easy lives, we don't even know who they are. They don't matter at all. They are literally dead. My friends, do not be afraid to live the difficulty of being intelligent, to live dangerously by being free, and to let go by loving others and God. This is the life that will grant you the happiness that you're seeking. If this video has helped you in any way, please subscribe and support this channel through Buy Me a Coffee. God bless you, and I'll see you in the next one.